they're turned 91. She's still living at home on her own, as she's done for the 16 or so years since my father passed away. In the house that has so many memories for her, where the family was raised, and every time we go back, there are dents in the wall or places that mark historic battles or events. My mom and dad were alike in ways, but different in others. They were very much alike in sharing a common love for our Savior and having a deep and abiding faith, a faith that enriched each one of us as their children. They had a deep love for each other and for family. But one of the ways that they were polar opposites had to do with stuff. My dad was a gatherer, if you will. Some would say a pack rat. My mom was the opposite of that, and I've never known anybody that was so much the opposite as she was. Dad would go to the store not that often, but when he'd go, it's like he couldn't help himself. He'd come home with stuff we didn't need one bit. He'd come home with I remember one time he came home with a case of sardines. And I don't have use for one sardine much of the time, much less a whole case. But he'd bring home stuff. And as we were growing up, as kids, we had decided that when they passed away, the best thing we could do was probably just burn the house down, because there's no way we could get rid of all that. But my mother was the one that would always be giving stuff away. She would find folks who could use whatever and pass it on. And it was a great gift in hindsight. It wasn't necessarily a great gift at the time from my perspective as a kid. I just remember, and I've shared with some of you, that difficult time that came between Thanksgiving and Christmas at our house year after year, because I would go typically after Thanksgiving to go find a toy, a game, something I wanted to play with or enjoyed, one of my favorites. And I'd look in my room and might not be there. And I'd look in the den and wouldn't be there. And I'd look in the basement steps and it wouldn't be there. And then the light would come on that I was never going to see it again. That my mother, knowing that Christmas was coming and that there would be gifts under the tree, she would take things that we had that we'd enjoyed, and she would use them to help provide some Christmas for folks that wouldn't otherwise be blessed in that way. And at the time, that was difficult. At the time, I never thought ahead of time to take the toys or things I liked most and put them away and hide them. I wish I had, but I just remember that sinking feeling. Well, in ways, we're like that at church. In ways, we tend to gather more than we tend to give away with some stuff. In ways, we tend to accumulate practices or programs or traditions or efforts that individually are good, and we put them in place for good reasons. I mean, we think they're going to meet a need or think they're going to help, and we start accumulating all this, and it's hard for us to get rid of some of it, if you will. David spoke in the prelude to the Lord's Supper about theologians bringing stuff for us to argue over, if you will. And a lot of the stuff that we've brought into religion isn't good for much of anything but to argue over. And I don't know if anything that's worth arguing over from a religious standpoint, or any good that comes from the arguments we get into, if you will, from a religious standpoint. We use a phrase sometimes as we speak of folks having a lot of baggage. Folks may say that about us from time to time, about David brings a lot of baggage with him. And that term is kind of ironic, isn't it, in the sense that we think about baggage or luggage in being the thing that's intended to help us take off and go on the journey and go through with our trip. And yet we accumulate so much that we can't go. We can't go. A good friend of mine was traveling back from overseas with 5 kids once. It was Earl Lavender's wife, Rebecca. She was stuck in New York at the airport with 5 kids and a bunch of luggage, and talked about how in the world she was struggling to cross a busy four-lane road to get into the parking area with all these bags and with these little kids, and just didn't know how in the world she was going to get there, and felt trapped. I think sometimes we get that way with our church and with our religion at times. We've got a lot of stuff, but it can hold us back. As shepherds, we've tried for the past several months to step back from the stuff that we've brought into religion, into our assemblies, into our body. Tried to step back and not look on any of it and saying that's bad and wrong and evil, not with that intent, but with an intent to try and say, what does matter? Where do we need to focus? Where should we be paying attention to help us go forward on this journey of growing with Christ? And this morning, I'll be giving an overview of that direction that we as shepherds are seeking to go with this body. And in the following weeks, a different shepherd each week will go into one aspect of that. But the idea that we're after is to focus on what really matters for us, to focus on the things that we can't do without as believers, and to help each of us in our journey to be equipped with that luggage, with that baggage, the right stuff, the stuff that we'll need along the way. The brochure that's handed out helps give an outline of it, and I'll kind of step through some of the ideas in it, starting with this idea of just GROW. It's just an acronym that captures the central themes of a focus first on God, and then on relationships, and then on obedience, and then on works or ministry or service. It's those four simple ideas that we look to growing through, growing with, helping us to steer towards heaven. The first of those, a focus on God, is at the heart of who we are. It is the key of what we're about. When Marty talked about Celebrate Recovery, he spoke about that at its core, our identity, about our need to focus, our need to connect with Him. For us as believers, there are lots of ways that we connect with God, but as a corporate body, one of the greatest opportunities we have to connect with Him is through this assembly, through this corporate worship. Now, worship goes on all through the week, and hopefully you have opportunity to worship as you see the night sky or watch the sunrise, or you see His creation or handiwork in the hearts and lives of folks around you. But this is a special opportunity we have as we assemble together to worship Him. And we want to make this assembly, this gathering, be one that connects us better than anything else we've ever had to our God as a body, as a fellowship, as a group of believers. There's an image in your brochure of an acorn or of a seed. And it's just that idea that seed, that acorn, it has within it the key identity of what's to be, of what's intended. Within that seed, within that acorn, within that little tiny thing is the information about something much bigger, something much grander, something more majestic than you'd ever dream by just looking at it. And that identity is what's established through our worship, in large part. That identity of saying that God is God, and He is wondrous and majestic. He's the Creator of all, and we owe Him our homage and our praise and our love and our devotion. And for us to come together and lift Him up is such a wonderful thing to do, such a great thing to do. This passage from Matthew 16 is when Jesus was working with His disciples, and He, after spending time with them, quizzed them about, who do people say that I am? He was asking them that, and they responded, well, some say Moses or Elijah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? That's the question that really matters. Peter responded with that response, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And that was at the core of worship, the core of the identity, the core of saying, I know You as my Savior, as my Lord, as the One who's over all. It's what worship is all about. For each of us, there's a need to answer the question that Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And that answer is given collectively in this assembly as we worship Him. It's one of the ways that we give that answer. There's the other passage that comes to mind relative to this idea, the passage when Jesus in Matthew 22 was answering that challenge about what commandment matters the most. And Jesus just said simply, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your strength. That's the greatest commandment. This worship assembly is focused on that, isn't it? On expressing that love. On our heart, our soul, our strength being poured out to Him. So the first of the four areas in which we seek to focus going forward is to helping this corporate assembly, this worship, be one that brings us together with the focus on God, reveals our identity as His children, reveals His identity as we sing His praise and adore Him. We want this worship to be one that works for this body, for this fellowship, but we want it also to be one that works for folks who have never named the name of Christ and are coming into our community of faith. We want to have it be an assembly that is friendly, if you will, to those who don't understand this identity with God and who can be captured and caught up in the praise and in the message and not in our adoration of Him. The second of the ideas that we want to focus on has to do with relationships. And we seek to carry it forward in a number of ways, but one of the key ways is with small groups, with trying to build those ties between each of us. The image that's up there is an image of a small plant. The image in your brochure is a little different one. This one has a feature that's important to me. It's got that feature of the roots that spread out. And before a plant emerges from the surface, there's growth that goes on unseen. There's growth as those tendrils find their way through the soil and make connection and bring in strength and nutrients to that young and emerging plant. Those relationships that we have in the body with each other are like our roots. They really are. They tie us together. When the storms come and the winds blow, they're part of what anchors us into a body of faith and give us strength. And from those roots we gain strength and encouragement along the way. The passage here from John 13, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you look earlier in John 13 for the context of that passage, you see John 13 is where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. It's a time when they all got together and everyone kind of sat waiting to see, well, who's going to do this? Who's going to wash feet? And none of them felt compelled enough in their love for each other to say, I'll do it. I'll do what needs to be done. I'll step in and take care of it. And Jesus set that example of demonstrating His deep, deep love for them in washing their feet. And it was after that act, later on in that passage, that this verse comes forward. A new command. I don't know if there's irony there or not. I don't think it was a new command. But maybe by their behavior, Jesus felt like He needed to say, you've probably missed this or not heard this before. We need to hear it anew. We need to hear it afresh. We need to know the need to love each other that gives us strength and builds roots and ties us into this community of faith. Jesus in Matthew 22 had the second command as He answered the question of what really matters. He said, the second's like to it. Love your neighbors yourself. That's at the core of relationships. That's at the core of us growing in that aspect. And whether it's through small groups, or whether it's through CR, or whether it's through working alongside each other, there are plenty of opportunities that we seek to focus and try and help this body to grow through relationships. The third element of this work, this path we're on, has to do with obedience. It has to do with growing in personal discipleship and coming closer to God. There's an image in your brochure and one that's here of a plant that's starting to take form, starting to emerge. And what you're seeing is this new shape different than the seed was, a new shape that's up above the ground, starting to stand tall, starting to stand on its own. For us, as we grow in Christ, as we understand His Word and His will for us, that's the image that we are to portray in this world, to be shaped, to be formed, to stand on the basis of what His Word tells us we should be about and do, what our character should be like. It should be what defines us through our walk. Over in John chapter 8, we read that Jesus spoke to the Jews who had believed Him and said, "If you obey My teaching, if you obey, then you're truly My disciples." It wasn't sufficient to hear His teaching. It wasn't sufficient just to know it backwards and forwards. What counted was the obedience. There's the passage in James where James talks about the difference between belief and action. It says, James spoke of, "You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons, they also believe and tremble." But James went on to say that belief needs to change your life. It needs to result in actions in our life, and our belief needs to result in actions. So through this idea of personal discipleship, we want to sort through how God would shape our lives. We want to understand what His will is for me and for you, and how we should live day by day. The things we need to set aside and the things we need to pick up along the way, the ways to serve Him. In John 14, the beautiful passage, as Jesus was in the last days before His death, Jesus spoke of that home that He had prepared. And He was speaking words of comfort to His disciples about what was to take place. And in those words of comfort, He interjects this idea, "If you love Me, you're going to keep My commandments. If you love Me, you're going to do these things." That's what He intends for us to do. That's the message that He's left behind for us. We'll see opportunity to know His will for us in the content of lessons, in the content of our small group focus, in the content of our studies, and in personal studies along the way. It's our desire for each one here that time be spent in His Word, that time be spent growing and understanding what He would have us to do. And the last of these ideas, the W in grow, is the idea of work, of service, of ministry, of giving of ourselves in a way that makes sense. The image of a mature plant, one that's bearing fruit, one that is producing something worthwhile beyond itself. That's the image that's there. For us to truly grow in Him, we've got to do that. We can't just be consumers. We can't just come to this assembly and see what we can get out of it. That's not our role. That's not what God intended for us. Occasionally in our discussion as shepherds, we've used the analogy of passengers on a cruise ship. And there are times that our connection with church is one in which we think that we're passengers on this cruise ship, and we come here and we expect to be pampered or taken care of, and if folks don't do us right, we get bothered. That's not the image that we want to portray of who we are or what we're about. We want to be folks who serve. We want to be folks who give. And to become like God, it's a key element. To become like Christ, to be made in His image, key element is to give. Whether it's through Upward, or whether it's through the benevolent program, whether it's through driving the bus, or whether it's through serving food, there are 1,000 different ways in teaching and sharing and writing cards to give, but every one of those counts. Every one of those matters. Jesus said in John 15, "When you produce much fruit, you are My true disciples." That's what glorifies God. That's how we glorify God. Worship is one aspect of recognizing Him. Ministry and service is glorifying Him. I appreciate the example set by Christ, and Mark captures it so well when he said that even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. That's the example He set for you and me. He came here with every right to be the one that was worshiped, to be the one that everybody waited on, that everybody made everything right for. And instead, He spent His time here washing feet, taking care of the helpless, intervening for the woman who was caught in adultery when no one else would stand up for it, he stood up for, or laying down his life on the cross for you and for me. That's what he did. And that example is the example for us of spending time day by day and week by week giving of our lives to him. If you think about it, those are the four bags, the four pieces of luggage, the four areas that we want to work together to carry forward in our journey as believers. This idea of a focus on God through the assembly, this idea of strengthening our relationships with each other to give us roots, to give us anchors to hold on to, the idea of becoming like Him, being made in the image of His Son through obedience, and the idea of service. If we can work on those simple things, we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed. And what we invite you to do as a body is for us together to try and grow in Christ in those areas. It'll take different paths as we sort through elements of it. We'll find different ways of service that we've not been exposed to before, but there is great blessing and glory for us to do that. In the next 4 weeks, coming up next week, Tom will take the lesson and speak about God. And then there'll be a lesson on relationships and on obedience and on ministry as we work through this path forward together. But we're gonna pause here and ask other shepherds to come forward and just pray about this path for this body. So Ray and Tom and Dan and Jerry.
We just want to pray together as a body this morning. Let's go before our Father. Father, we thank you for the calling that you've placed on this body. Father, for the place that you've put us on the face of your earth. Father, in this time, we are living together. We work together. We have been called by you as your children. Father, I am, as I speak for these men, I am deeply grateful for this body of believers. I am thankful that you have called us at a time that we can serve together, that we can love together. Father, I'm thankful for how they've encouraged me and lived before me in a faithful way, and I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for these four men that stand with me, Father, as the shepherds that you've called into this body. Father, we lay before you the words that David has spoken out on our behalf this morning. That, Father, we feel very strongly that you've called us into a new way of serving as a body, of walking as a body. That, Father, you've become very real in our hearts and our lives. And you are so real, you are so powerful that we can't help but share you with others. Father, help us as we stand with this body to walk them with them in a way to grow, to mature, to develop, to grow into strong men and women who feel the calling on you to love others, to serve in ministry. Father, to learn how to grow as individuals, how to grow as a body. Father, we so much want that. We know that we sit here every Sunday morning with the most precious thing that has ever been, and that's your Son Jesus and your Spirit and the identity of knowing that we are children. And Father, we pray that as a body, that we follow your leading to turn this walk from a cruise ship into a battleship. That, Father, the folks that are living amongst us and the folks that we walk with every day will hear the good news of Jesus Christ because of the way this body has chosen to live their lives. And, Father, we have you. You're very beautiful. You're precious. You are essential. And, Father, the folks that are out there that are just drying up, that are desperate, that are hopeless, that are needing the light in their hearts and lives that they want, Father, may we take up the calling as a body and take you to a dying world, to folks who who don't even know you, who've never heard a song that we sing every Sunday morning, who've never even read a Bible, who may not have ever heard the name of Jesus Christ except in a cursing way. And Father, we stand before you committed and dedicated with resolve to lead this group of people forth, to take the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone in this community. So we lay ourselves before you and ask you for the strength that we need. We pray this through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
In just a moment, Tommy's going to come and lead a song of invitation. The whole idea behind that is taking that step, that critical step of turning lives over to God, of naming the name of Jesus, of beginning that walk. And for some, it may be stepping back into the walk after being away from it for a time. But if you're subject to his invitation, this is just a great opportunity to come as we stand and as we sing.
I believe Jerry will come in just a moment and share announcements with us. We do have a few things that I'd like to mention first, or two things. One is birthdays. We do like to mention those. We've got a bunch: Ray Green, Sarah Mathis, Brenda McAfee, Isaac Pauly, Lana Sane, Barbara Knox, Scott Morgan, Grant Sadler, Button Dale, Tim Pauly, Hayden West, Kathy Mancini, and are there others? Are there others? We just wish you guys a happy birthday. Hope you have a wonderful week of celebration. We also want to mention to you, yes. Is it Garrett? Not Grant? So it's Garrett Sadler too? Is today. Okay. Well, very good. We don't want to leave him out. Well, we got to sing happy birthday now. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, God bless you all, happy birthday to you. One other thing about this last Sunday night, we came in for our devotional, and we had a guest with us, Imogene McAnulty, and she shared with us work in Romania and some of the things that we can do to help with them this year, and that'll probably be presented at some point in time. But we came into the old auditorium, and we were normally that's where we meet, and there were two guys standing in our baptistry. One of them was Jay, and the other one was Brian, and they have totally redone or repainted, refinished, cleaned up our baptistry. And if you haven't had a chance to see that, you need to go by there and see their wonderful work. And we thank you guys for doing that. And I won't tell you, but take a look inside the baptistry. Just take a look down inside the baptistry. Jerry?
I want to thank David for his lesson this morning and overview of what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks, and hope everybody can try to make it a special point to be here as we go through the vision and of what we've talked about and labored about and want to present to you. That's the one on Imogene McAnulty. If you were not here last Sunday night to listen to her, she is now then, we're getting ready to work and start gathering for her Christmas. We have to do this early so that it'll be over there in Romania by the time it gets Christmas. So I have Sunday night. Tonight we start small groups. If you're not in a small group, you have a chance to grab somebody that is a leader in a small group and say that you'd like to be a part of their group. Ivan McAfee and their group for years have been meeting here at the church, and that starts at 5 o'clock, and they have dinner, and following that, then they have a Bible study. So if you'd like to come to the church for that, then that would be fine as well. I have a card here from Jewel and Doyle, and I read the outside of it, and I normally don't read that, but this had such a point to it. It said, "Each small kindness like a seed grows tall in memory." And I know that in talking with Jewel and Doyle that the congregation has brought them many memories and fond and happy memories. But they wrote, "We want to thank our church family for all the prayers, cards, calls, visits, and food during our illness. It is very comforting to know that there is someone to care. In Christian love, Doyle and Jewel." And both of them have been through some surgeries, and they're doing great now. So it's exciting how fast Jewel has come back from her back surgery and had been in a lot of pain. Have I missed any announcements I need to make? If not, let's stand for the closing prayer. Father, we come again this morning searching for you, seeking you, and wanting to praise and to offer thanksgiving and become humble in your presence. It's so good to be with other Christians that strengthen us by their life, by their love, and by their caring. We just pray that you will help us.